In the ancient world, when a king was travelling along a road, he would send out his engineers and soldiers ahead of him, and they would prepare his way. They were called forerunners. They would run ahead of him, and they would prepare the road, quite literally. They would clear the road, sometimes moving great boulders that were in the way. They would sometimes fill in the ruts, fill in the potholes. Sometimes they would even straighten out the road, so that the road the king was going along would then be clear, it would be smooth, it would be safe. Forerunners. This morning we're going to be focusing on a man who did such a work. A man who was a forerunner for a king. A man whose message was, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. It's the man, John the Baptist. Mark in these verses is setting the scene in the gospel. He's setting the stage, really. He's preparing the way for the one who would be the center and subject of his book, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we remember from last week that in the first verse he clearly states his theme and subject. He says, this is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But in these opening 8 verses, there's no appearance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He doesn't feature. In fact, we don't meet him until verse 9. So these verses, they're serving as a prologue, really. They're an introduction. They're preparing us for the arrival of the King. These verses are themselves like a forerunner to Jesus Christ, preparing his way. And so we want to consider this morning how these verses prepare the way for the Lord, and particularly how John the Baptist prepared the way. It's easy for us to pass over John the Baptist, but we can't properly understand Christ's ministry unless we start really with John the Baptist. All 4 Gospels mention him. He's important. He was a man whose heart beats with the message, prepare the way for the Lord. That's a message which, as we will see, is entirely appropriate for us to have as well. Prepare the way for the Lord. So we want to consider this morning 3 different forerunners from this passage. Firstly, the Old Testament as a forerunner. Secondly, John the Baptist as a forerunner. And then thirdly, us today as forerunners. So let's consider firstly how the Old Testament prepares the way for the Lord. How the Old Testament is like a forerunner. It would seem, if you were writing a gospel account, it would seem that the natural place to begin would be with the birth of Jesus. That would seem to be the natural place. But Mark goes much further back than that. What Mark begins with are predictions that were several hundred years old. He's showing us that what is going on here in his book has its roots away back in history. In verses 2 and 3, we have 2 Old Testament quotations, one from Malachi and one from Isaiah. Verse 2 is the Malachi reference. We read it earlier in the service, Malachi 3, verse 1. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. At the time Mark is speaking of, it was about 400 years old. It was the last time God had spoken to his people. Since then, there had been 400 years of stony silence from heaven. And as the Old Testament closes, those words of Malachi echo for hundreds of years. The Lord is coming, but before he comes, there will be a messenger. And then in verse 3, Mark quotes from Isaiah, Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. This was an older prophecy. It's about 700 years old when Mark is speaking. And Mark, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, combines the two. He's saying that the messenger described by Malachi is the same one described earlier by Isaiah. And he'll be found preaching in the desert. He'll be found in the wilderness. Before the Lord comes, these prophets are saying, there will be a forerunner. They're saying there will be a messenger preparing the way for the Lord. And these prophecies, they've been ringing in the ears of the Jews for centuries. God has promised that when our great Lord comes, there's going to be a messenger out in the wilderness proclaiming his way. And of course, it's speaking about John the Baptist. But the message Mark is stressing is that the Old Testament is important. The Old Testament is itself like a forerunner. It is preparing the way for the Lord. It's pointing us to Jesus. Mark's saying, look, this gospel isn't something new. This Jesus Christ, he has been at the center of God's plans, and he always has been. Even this forerunner, he has been predicted hundreds of years ago. He was a part of God's big plan. Let me remind you, friends, that the entire Old Testament is about Christ. It prepares the way for the Lord. It's a forerunner for the King. In road bicycle racing, there's such a thing known as drafting. You might have seen it. It's all to do with aerodynamics, drafting. It's when one cyclist follows another in the first cyclist's slipstream. He sits behind the first cyclist following in his slipstream, drafting. Apparently, it can reduce the amount of energy that the second cyclist needs by as much as 40% when compared to riding alone. Drafting. The first cyclist does a lot of the hard work, and when the time is right, the second cyclist can burst onto the scene and tear off. Well, in a bit of a similar way, the Old Testament does the preparation work. Does a lot of the hard graft in order for the eternal Son of God in the fullness of time to burst upon the scene. It's a forerunner. Mark is telling us, he's making the point, the gospel is intrinsically connected to the Old Testament. We must be quite clear in that, friends. The coming of Jesus wasn't an afterthought on God's part. It was something for which he had planned and prepared for the long, long years of the Old Testament. And one of the great privileges we have here in the Reformed Presbyterian Church is we get to sing from Old Testament Psalms week by week. We get to sing songs about the promised King. Songs to the promised King. Songs that seem to have been written by the promised King. The songs we sing themselves serve as forerunners. They're preparing the way for the Lord because the Old Testament prepares the way for the Lord. How the Old Testament prepares the way for the Lord. And then secondly, verses 4 to 8, how John the Baptist prepares the way for the Lord. How John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord. Verses 4 to 8, we're plunged into the middle of a massive revival in Palestine. It's a very exciting time. The epicenter of this revival is in the wilderness, 22 miles away from Jerusalem. And it's some of the most difficult and dangerous territory around. Yet we read in verse 5, tens of thousands of people are making their way out to this place. They're making their way out into the middle of nowhere because of a man, John the Baptist. Let's remember, for 400 years, God hasn't spoken. There has been silence. And one of the last things God said through Malachi was that one day he would send another prophet, the forerunner. In fact, Malachi describes him in Malachi 4, verse 5. I will send you the prophet Elijah. So the people who are spiritually tuned in, they're waiting and they're expecting an Elijah-type figure to appear in the wilderness. And what do we read? Verse 4. And so John came. He's in the wilderness. He's eating wilderness food, locusts and wild honey. He's wearing a uniform, the uniform of a prophet, the uniform of one particular prophet. We read in 2 Kings 1, verse 8, that Elijah wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather around his waist. John is making a fashion statement, a theological fashion statement. He's saying, look, I am the Elijah that was prophesied by Malachi. I am the messenger. I am the forerunner to the king. So in fulfillment to these prophecies, John the Baptist appears in the wilderness. He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. And what do prophets do? Prophets preach. And what's John preaching? Well, his preaching, it could be summed up in a phrase, really, at John the Baptist's preaching. Repent and get ready for the Lord. That's his preaching. Repent and get ready for the Lord. And just as I used a visual aid with the children earlier, John the Baptist used a visual aid, the visual aid of baptism. Verse 4. John came baptizing in a desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was such a significant feature of his ministry, he became known as John the Baptist. It's hugely symbolic. There had been an association of ritual washings in the Old Testament. Baptism in itself wasn't that unusual a thing. But it's unusual, friends, because previously it had only been for Gentiles. It wasn't for the Jews. Baptism was washing reserved only for the Gentiles. And so for John to say to these Jews that they need to be baptized, that was hugely offensive, incredibly insulting. For a Jew to get baptized, it would be in effect saying, I'm no better than a Gentile. I'm no better than a Gentile. I'm no more ready to meet this new king as a Gentile. I'm no more ready for God to establish his kingdom than a Gentile is. This would have been a huge admission for Jews who had been trained pretty much to resent Gentiles. So John the Baptist is saying to him, look, you can't trust in your nationality. You need to repent. And if any of them are asking why, well, verse 7, he's quite emphatic. Verse 7, after me will come one more powerful than I. And it's stressed there. He says, someone far, far more exalted is coming. That's what the reference to the sandals is all about. Tying or untying someone's sandals was an extremely lowly task. It would be today. I'm not sure if many of you husbands would have the face to ask your wife to untie or tie your shoes. In fact, in this day, it was so lowly a task that Jewish law stated no one could be made to do this. It was so lowly. John says, this one who's coming, he's so magnificent, he's so glorious. He says, I'm not even worthy to do this. I'm not worthy to perform the lowliest menial task imaginable. He's far greater than I am. You see, some of his hearers, they were possibly beginning to think John the Baptist was the Messiah. And they were possibly beginning to think this is a promised one. John says, don't think that. He says, he's far greater. He's coming after me. I'm not the promised Christ. In verse 8, he contrasts his baptism with that of the coming Lord. While John baptized with water, the Lord would baptize with the Holy Spirit. He says he's coming and he's going to bring the promised Spirit. In other words, this is no ordinary person who's coming. John the Baptist is saying, look, you're on the verge of history here. Something the like of which has never been seen before. The Messiah is coming. The King is coming. You need to get ready. You need to repent. And he's preparing the way. He's a forerunner. The Lord is coming, he says. There are boulders of sin and potholes of failure in your life that need to be fixed. You need to get rid of your sin. You need to repent, he says. And friends, maybe that's what we need this morning. To repent and to respond anew to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I wonder if in your path of life there are boulders of stubborn, repulsive sin that you need to repent from. Potholes of bitterness and resentment that you need to confess to God. Ruts of anger and harsh criticism. Have we got ditches in our lives of constant grumbling that we need to seek forgiveness for? John's message to us this morning, friends, is repent. Repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. Don't just feel bad about your sin. Turn from it. Stop doing wrong. Start doing right. Because there's one coming. And he's coming, as we've been singing today, to judge the earth. He's coming to judge, and you must repent. John the Baptist asks you this morning, are you ready for the arrival of the coming King? He said, I am coming soon. Are you ready? I wonder, if you knew when he would come, if you knew when Jesus would come again, would you act any differently? I wonder, if you knew that he was going to be coming again Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock a.m., I wonder how that would affect your choices and decisions this week. I wonder how it would affect your words to your wife and children. I wonder how it would affect your words to your colleagues. I wonder how it would affect your Bible reading if you knew he was coming on Wednesday. Would you not be filled, friends, with a sense of urgency and compassion? Would your devotional life not suddenly find warmth and life? Would you not be challenged as to your cold apathy towards spending time with God's people? But friend, what's to say he's not coming back on Wednesday? What's to say that our King won't come back this evening? Are you ready for this coming king? John asks. Repent and get ready for the Lord. John the Baptist, how he prepared the way for the Lord. So we've looked at the Old Testament, and we've looked at John the Baptist. And then thirdly, we want to look how we are to prepare the way for the Lord. How we are like forerunners. How we are to prepare the way for the Lord. Mark is saying to us this morning, we should be like John the Baptist. Not that we should go out into the desert wearing camel hair, leather belts, eating locusts, wild honey. The honey bit might be okay. Although I think there's grounds there for discussion, perhaps, on John's clothing and diets. He was distinct. He was different from everyone around him. Maybe in the home groups this week there's potential to discuss how we're to be like John in that respect. But I think Mark is saying to us, it's not so much how we dress and eat that we're to be like John the Baptist, but it's how we think and how we speak. Let me apply this lesson in two ways. We're to have a forerunner's mentality. We're to have John's mentality. A forerunner's mentality. What did John the Baptist think about? His entire mentality was about Jesus. It was about a person other than himself. He was a perfect choice for a forerunner. For John the Baptist, it was all about Jesus Christ. His whole being was focused on Jesus and pointed to Jesus. His motto, a very famous motto, it's mentioned in John 3, verse 30. He must become greater. Speaking about Jesus. He must become greater. I must become less. He must increase. I must decrease. He says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Many of John's disciples left him to follow Jesus. We don't ever read of John being envious. This was what he wanted. His great delight was to point people to Jesus. He never pointed to himself. He always pointed to Jesus. And he loved to talk about Jesus. And so, friend, I ask you, as I've asked myself this week, can we say we know anything of this attitude? This mentality. We can talk a lot about theology. We can talk a lot about faith. We can talk a lot about the sins of our nation. We can talk a lot about the degradation of society. We can talk all day about denominational differences and evangelism and outreach. But friends, how much do we talk and think about Jesus? Does he dominate our whole life? Is he your great joy? Do you love to talk about him? Do you love to talk to other people about him? Do you love to talk to him? Is he the focus of your whole life? That's a forerunner's mentality, to think about Jesus. Then we should also have a forerunner's ministry. A forerunner's ministry. We should talk like a forerunner. John the Baptist, when he spoke, he was pointing people to Jesus. We are to point people to Jesus. John the Baptist, he prepared the way for the Lord. We are to prepare the way for the Lord. Because Jesus has risen, he is alive, and he's coming again. And those who don't trust in him as Saviour, they need to repent and trust in him. John's message, you see, is our message as well. Repent and get ready for the Lord. Turn away from your sin. Seek forgiveness. This forerunner's ministry. John the Baptist wasn't too casual about it, was he? He was filled with a sense of urgency. If anything, it's more urgent for us today. If anything, it's more necessary that we preach this message, because the King is coming again. The great King of Kings. This time there isn't going to be a forerunner like John the Baptist. There isn't going to be any warning. The Bible describes it like a thief in the night, without warning. When Christ comes again, the sky will be split open, the trumpet will sound. That will be the first we know about it. You might be putting petrol in your car. You might be taking the bins out. And the King comes again. There isn't going to be another John the Baptist. And there isn't going to be time for repentance and mercy on that day. So friend, if you're not a Christian this morning, I urge you, the King is coming. And he's coming in judgment. Repent. Repent and receive the forgiveness of sins. If you are a Christian this morning, are you ready for this coming King? What would he think of your life right now? Would you not feel ashamed of your shallow love for him and your miserable service to him? He's coming again, and he calls us, friends, to be ready for his coming. Let's hear this call, and let's commit ourselves afresh today to preparing for the coming of the Lord. Let us be forerunners of the King.